and welcome. I'm Dr. Mona Kular, and this is To Immunity and Beyond. I'm a medically trained doctor and nutrition and health coach, and I love helping people find the very best version of themselves. This show is all about living well, feeling well, and most importantly, aging well. The immune system is essentially the body's wellness system, so by understanding and supporting it, we can all reach an optimal level of health. I'll be having conversations with a wide range of experts from around the world on all the areas that can support our immune system to help us live healthier for longer. Let's live life better. Hi, and welcome to Immunity and Beyond. Today I'm talking to Professor Gordon Louts and Nicolina Louts from a company called GlycanAge. GlycanAge is a test of biological age and wellness based on decades of scientific research. The test measures markers of inflammation in the immune system, which are known to contribute to aging and chronic disease, but respond positively to lifestyle changes. This means it's possible to measure and improve your biological age by adopting healthier habits. We'll be discussing how the test works and the sorts of things we can do to reduce chronic inflammation and improve our biological age. Thank you both very much for coming on the show. Nicolina, you are Gordon's daughter, and I'd love to know more about how you came to work together and how you both find that.
So I'm a hardcore scientist. I'm running a lab with over 50 people. We do a lot of research, publish lots of papers. I'm a scientist. This is what I like to do. On the other hand, Nicolina is somebody who wants to change the world. And she's now trying to use our research to actually change the way people live their life.
I've always been very entrepreneurial. And I think quite a while ago, I was quite dismissive, first because it was family and I like my independence. I was quite successful. But then what he's done over the last three decades is really hugely valuable resource, and it's exciting because it goes far deeper than what I could do on my own.
Gordon, glycans are something I understand you've been studying for a very, very long time. Would you be able to just give us an overview as to what they actually are and why you've started to look at them in the context of biological aging and wellness?
So we know that there are four basic building blocks of life. One are the nucleic acids, then we have proteins, then we have lipids, and we have glycans. And one of the most important function of glycans is that they're being attached to proteins to modulate their function. Proteins, like a small molecular robots, they do the work, while glycans provide fine-tuning, decoration, regulation. So for example, if you could imagine a car, protein car would only have a wheels and maybe a board you could sit on and a basic steering wheel. The nice seats, the windows, the rear view mirrors, even the roof would be glycans. So glycans are modifications to proteins, which are making them more elaborate. And majority of proteins are actually glycoproteins. Okay. And we are focusing on a relatively small number of proteins because glycans are difficult to study. They're chemically very complicated. And one of these proteins is immunoglobulin G, so the antibodies. And on antibodies, glycans decide what kind of effector functions they will activate. So whether it will kill a target cell, whether it will use another mechanism to kill a bacteria, whether it will just ignore the antigen. And we did over 150,000 people so far. And one thing we learned is that the glycans change a lot with age. So we were thinking, actually, in the early days, we weren't thinking we could use it in forensic medicine to kind of date the how old the person was who left some kind of a trace on a crime scene.
Yeah.
But the glycans are not accurate enough for that.
Right. Okay.
Because the glycans on average miss the chronological age plus minus 9 years.
Sure.
But what we learned that this difference is explained by the lifestyle. So people living healthier lifestyle are moving slower towards this old glycan than people who live an unhealthy lifestyle. So we actually learned that glycans on IgG, which we converted into glycan age test, are measuring kind of a rate of aging of our immune system, which is one of the molecular mechanisms of aging. Even there is one theory which is explaining aging as a molecular process called inflammaging. Inflammation is driving aging, and the aging is driving inflammation. And then we have this vicious circle of inflammation going up and doing the damage to the body. Because, you know, what is inflammation? Inflammation is kind of when there is something wrong, when the cell is damaged, when there is infection. You send in neutrophils, the killer cells, they kill everything, and then you rebuild. And if there was a damage, this is great. But if you're doing it all the time, everywhere, then you have something which is called low-grade chronic inflammation, and this is consuming huge amount of energy, and this is leaving so many small molecular scars that we are just aging. Now, this is what is changing a young individual to an old individual. And glycans play a very important role there. They seem to be one of the key molecules responsible for suppressing low-grade chronic inflammation. So when people are young, their immunoglobulins have young glycans, and they're actively suppressing inflammation. If you take this type of immunoglobulins from a young person, put it in an old person, it will suppress inflammation. If you take these young glycans from a young mouse and put it in old obese mouse, this will prevent this old mouse from developing hypertension, from developing insulin resistance. So actually these molecules prevent the damage. As we are getting older, we are losing these good glycans, and we are getting old bad glycans which promote inflammation. And you put these bad glycans in a person, and then it promotes inflammation.
So when we're talking about inflammation in this context, you're relating it to aging, but actually it's the same inflammation that is a major driver for many chronic diseases.
So these chronic diseases usually develop with age, and inflammation is underlying mechanism behind many of them. From diabetes, from cardiovascular diseases, from some inflammatory diseases, it's low-grade chronic inflammation which actually contributes to disease development. And this is where I see a huge potential of these glycans we are measuring, because we can see the change up to 10 years before the disease develops. And we are doing many studies now on the old samples in the biobank. So, for example, we recently published a paper on a cohort from Germany where they collected 27,000 people and followed them to see who will develop diabetes and who will develop cardiovascular diseases, heart attack or stroke. Yeah. And we had samples 10 years before these diseases actually developed. And we already see a changes in glycans. Okay. So we know that you can see very early that bad glycans are a risk factor for a disease. And since we know that these bad glycans are not only biomarkers, they are molecular drivers. They do the damage. If you fix them early, maybe the disease will never happen. Or at least it will happen much later. And these glycans, you can actually change by a lifestyle change. Lose an extra weight, don't be under too much stress, do not over-exercise, which is also causing damage. We all know that by living a healthy life, having healthy habits, we can gain up to 10 years of healthy life, but we don't do it.
No.
And do you know why? Because the reward comes too late. So
we're not evolved for delayed gratification, though, are we? That's the problem. So I have an Instagram account called The Health Span Doctor, because I'm interested in health span versus lifespan. You know, it's one thing to live longer, but you want to live healthier for longer. There's no point getting to 70 and then festering away with no quality of life. And I think people want immediate results. So, for example, the early changes of Alzheimer's disease, they've been seen in brain scans up to 30 years before symptoms appear, because that degenerative process via inflammation is happening decades before the adaptation is eventually unable to keep up. And it's very difficult to convince people to make changes earlier in life that will reward them later in life. Is that something you're hoping Glycan Age will convince people to do, because they'll have an actual quantitative result to work with?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So this is something I think might really work. And one of the reasons I think that is, for example, my daughter bought me this smartwatch, which is telling me every hour, now you have to stand up and walk for 2 minutes. And then it's giving me small rewards, kind of. Yeah, you did it. For 5 days, you did it. It works.
Yeah.
And then I'm thinking, oh, no, I'm not going to ruin my record. I have to do it 1 day more. So the glycanage test, which we have now, is something which can give us early feedback on whether what we are doing is actually helping us. And the problem is that we are all different and there is no universal recipe for everybody. You cannot make a checklist. Everybody does the same thing and gets healthy. There are some things which work for some people, which would not work for other people. For example, we recently did a study. This is still unpublished, but we have the data already. We analyzed 1,000 people on 5 different diets: low carb, high carb, low high protein, low calorie, different combinations. And we realized that there is no magic diet. On each of those 5 diets, some people improved and some people did not. And now we have a tool to see which works and which does not work. Unfortunately, we cannot tell upfront what will work, but what we can say, okay, you tried this. After a few months, do we see an effect? If there is an effect, great. We had many clients already, and you have somebody who is, I don't know, 10 years older, and then there is a lifestyle change, and they improve, and now they are only maybe 2 years older or even younger, and this motivates people.
Yeah.
So I think this is really something which can be a quantitative, reliable, objectively measured. You know, it's a blood test, so it's not something you imagine, it you actually measure it. It's really robust. So when you do measurements repeatedly, it doesn't really change a lot unless you change your lifestyle. So I think it's really great to help people learn what works for them. Because, for example, my glycanage is not ideal. And the first thing I tried to sweat it out. I exercised 3-4 hours a day. I was hiking in the mountains for hours. I lost 10 kilos. But my glycanage did not improve.
Right.
It did, but a bit, maybe 1 year or something like that. So it was over-exercising, at least for me, it does not work. What works for me is to cut down the carbohydrates in food. And if I eat less carbohydrates, I get better. People are different. So for some people, it could be sleep, could be stress, could be something else.
So the individuality there isn't just within nutrition then. It could be anything. And so people would have to try various different things for a number of months, because it takes that long for the glycans to change, like a trial and error sort of process to work out what it is that helps them most.
Yes, it's not only food. It's definitely our psychological well-being is extremely important, because, you know, immune system is regulated by our brain. For example, stress response is shutting down the immune system. It's one of the basic mechanisms, this fight or flight response. When you're under danger, you shut down your immune system because it is not important the next few minutes if somebody wants to eat you.
Yeah.
So brain, sleeping, diet, exercising, this all together forms a well-being of a person. And the glycanage is a good indicator, because this is this molecular mechanism which is balancing low-grade chronic inflammation. So these two things are highly interconnected. And by measuring it, we get objective feedback.
So there is more awareness now about inflammation, I think, within the general population. And people talk about anti-inflammatory diets and anti-inflammatory lifestyle, which are all the things we've just talked about. So really, by adopting all the sorts of things that drive down inflammation, they should be able to improve their glycanage if it's high in the first place.
So definitely something will work. As I mentioned, people are different. That's the idea of biology, that every single individual is different, so that when one bug comes, it will never kill everybody. So it's and this is why coaching people into the lifestyle is not easy. This is still more art than a science. But if you have something you can measure, and there are not so many things you can actually measure, because most biomarkers of biological age do not respond to intervention. For example, epigenetic age is extremely accurate in predicting your chronological age, but you can gain 10 or 15 kilos and it would not change. While if you gain weight, your glycans would change. If you lose weight, your glycans would change. And this is something which is kind of telling us that these molecules actually correlate with a healthy and unhealthy lifestyle.
And what about things that fall just slightly outside of those more known about aspects? So the gut microbiome, is there any interaction between that and our glycans? And what about fasting? I know lots of people now adopt various different fasting principles, which can affect the gut microbiome. So is there an interlink there as well?
So we have to be a bit careful in defining words here, because glycans is a very wide category. It's a class of molecules. So glycans, which are part of the glycan H test, are on immunoglobulin G. They do not directly interact with the microbes.
Okay.
But there are other glycans which are lining our endothelium of our intestinal tract, which are actually feeding microbes. So the ecosystem between microbiome and the glycans, it has evolved in a way that we are kind of feeding the bacteria we like, and there we are like domesticated animals. We have a domesticated bacteria which eat our glycans on our gut, and I think this is one of the reasons why this intermittent fasting is actually so important, because if we eat all the time and there is always food in our digestive tract, then any bacteria can grow there. It's like having a soup somewhere outside when it's warm weather. The old bacteria will grow there and it will spoil very quickly. But if we empty our guts, so if we don't eat for a prolonged period of time, 18 hours per day or maybe day per week or whatever, then only bacteria which can feed on our glycans survive. So the only ones we like, which we feed, survive, while all these bad, aggressive bacteria, which only evolved to divide faster when there is a lot of food, they get washed away. And we did one interesting study with a fecal microbiome transplant, where people with some diseases get transplanted a healthy microbiome from other people. And this will actually change even the glycans in the blood. So the change of microbiome will decrease the inflammation level. And this is something we can measure with glycans. So there is definitely crosstalk between glycans and the bacteria, but we still have to learn more about it, because, you know, even for the microbiome, we don't know much.
No.
And the interaction about glycans and the microbiome, we still don't know. But we are working together with Zoe on that, and we are looking into glycans in people who want a different diets. So soon we will know more.
So that's definitely something people could try as well then, to support their gut health through actually a lot of the lifestyle factors we've already mentioned. And obviously eating a diverse plant-based diet, that tends to help, doesn't it, with the diversity of the microbes in the gut. So that could be another angle that they could approach it from then.
So this is definitely an important, and avoiding the over-processed food with so many chemicals inside. And these chemicals are made to keep this food sellable for a long time. So bacteria don't grow there. But these same chemicals then kill our own bacteria.
Yeah.
So if we eat this over-processed food all the time, we kill all our friendly bacteria with these chemicals in the food. So it's... we are not living the healthiest lifestyle globally because of this dietary habit. So there is definitely a lot of potential to improve. And the glycan H test is one thing how people can monitor the outcome.
Yeah. And you mentioned that there are obviously many different types of glycans. If people are worried about other aspects of aging, such as their skin aging or joint health, will this test give them an indicator as to how they're faring on that front? Or do these glycans are not really relevant to that sort of thing?
So we know that inflammatory diseases like arthritis or some kind of skin inflammatory diseases associate with significant changes in the IgG glycan. And the changes in the IgG glycan in this glycan age test comes before the disease develops.
Okay.
So we know that these bad glycans are actually promoting arthritis. They're promoting some other inflammatory diseases. So definitely any kind of chronic inflammation usually comes together with a change in glycans. But I like to look earlier. No, I would like to see people checking glycans before they get ill. Because I think the medicine is making one major mistake today. And it is that it is focusing on treating sick people.
Absolutely.
Because medicine is a business. Pharma industry gets paid for producing drugs. So the money is coming from sick people, while we should be thinking about people not getting sick. And as we are seeing that the healthcare systems are going practically bankrupt globally because we cannot pay for the increasing cost of the healthcare with the aging population, with more and more expensive drugs, the business model will have to change. So the healthcare systems will have to invest into keeping people healthy, into helping people to avoid diseases. And eventually, this will make everybody happy. But this is a long-term goal, because for now, ideal of the pharma industry is that you develop a drug which you give to somebody for the rest of their lives. These are the statins, these are the antihypertensive, all these drugs which are being, you know, given to 10, 20, 30% of population eventually. This is so wrong, because we should be thinking more about preventing the problem, the solving the problem, not treating it all the time with more and more chemicals. And at the end, we have old people taking 20, 30 different type of pills a day, which is crazy.
I completely agree. I think one of the issues we have in today's society is people take health for granted until they become unwell, and then they expect that they will be treated by medicine for it. So I don't think people take enough responsibility for their own health. I don't think they necessarily see it as their problem, because they feel that the healthcare system will bail them out when ill health comes. How do you think we can go about trying to change that message or to change that mindset in people?
Well, I think what we had for the last year, this global COVID pandemic, will really help people to understand that our health is not something that government should be thinking about. I think we all should be responsible for our own health, because what we allowed for this last year to happen is that actually government is making decisions which should keep people healthy. And actually, way more powerful kind of orders from the government would be stop all sugary drinks, avoid eating ultra-processed food, obligatory exercise twice a week. And then we would save much more people, because we would reduce cardiovascular diseases and diabetes. It's very hard to expect from governments to change easily. But I think more and more people are starting to think differently. They're starting to think, is there something I can do to make me at lower risk of a severe disease when the next bug comes? Because this is not the last pandemic. You know, this is one of the pandemics we had in the last millennia. And this will happen again. And then people should be more prepared. And we should not prepare by buying more personal protective equipment like the masks,
yeah,
but by trying to have a healthier immune system, have a stronger metabolic health. Because what we see here is that it is mostly frail individuals,
absolutely,
which develop severe disease and die. There are a lot of young people in the media being shown as victims of a virus, but these are usually rare genetic defects or some kind of autoimmune diseases, autoimmune antibodies against interferons and so on. These are so rare events that we should not be focusing on them. We should look at the global picture, and the global picture is obesity, metabolic problems, and we should treat it. We should start treating it now, and you cannot treat it with a pill. You cannot treat it in a hospital. You can only treat it with a lifestyle. And this is where I think if we invest more in keeping people healthy, we will have to invest much less in medicines and hospitals and everything else. And everybody will live longer and healthier.
Can I just backtrack to something you said earlier? So you've mentioned obesity a few times. When you looked at your glycan age and you did a bit more exercise and lost 10 kilograms, that didn't have a huge impact on your result compared to cutting out carbohydrates. But obesity is a driver of inflammation. So would reducing weight not reduce glycan age in most people?
So reducing weight works, but overtraining goes in a different direction. So if you reduce weight by overtraining, then you have two competing things.
So you're increasing inflammation with the overtraining.
Nicolina.
Yeah, so I think, I don't know if you can touch on the gym study, but that was one of our first misconceptions, is that going to the gym will make you younger. And we keep getting more and more proof that it's actually the opposite that will happen. And we ran this small study with competitive bodybuilding, and we saw that the intensive exercise makes your glycans more pro-inflammatory and ages you. And in the recovery phase, when they stop competing, they generally recover unless they're also dieting at the same time. And this is one of the sports where you're doing intensive exercising and intensive dieting in that short period. And everybody actually does that. They go to the gym, they go on an extreme diet, and it works against them. And they never really recover. And they got stuck in this place where they don't lose the weight and they even do damage, not knowingly, and trying to achieve something else. That was the one big surprise that we thought is the magic pill that will work. But it's actually really hard to measure it in a way that it's good for you. And we do know that some types of exercise, like intervals, interval training, and we studied interval sprints, do make people younger. But it's when they're just doing the interval sprints, in that period, no change of diet, no change of anything else, that was positive. What we usually do, we think that more is more, and then we pile on top everything, and that does the reverse. And also going back to your fasting, because it's so trendy now, everybody thinks that fasting will do magic for you and make you younger. It helps a lot. It can really be good, but we also see people who overfast to the point that they're quite underweight or their immune system is also suppressed.
That's really interesting, actually, because when people think about living healthier for longer, they think about doing exercise, as you've just said, but putting one stress on top of another stress, so exercising and being in, say, a calorie deficit, actually is going to work against you. So it's about ensuring recovery, I suppose, if you are going to exercise intensively, because some people do that because they really enjoy it, then actually you need to make sure you're recovering well and eating well to offset the balance of that stress that the exercise has put on your physiological systems.
If you look at professional athletes, that's really what you see. They have a very short career. At age 30, 34, 35, they're an old athlete. So really, it does come at a cost. And I think sports science is improving as well. They're investing a lot into recovery so they can extend their short career spans. But it's really a key part. If you're investing a lot into your exercise, you have to invest at least the equal amount into your recovery.
And actually, often it's the people who exercise the hardest that, like you say, don't invest, because it's the more is more philosophy that people adopt.
It's the wrong mentality. It's the no pain, no gain. And maybe that's a good mentality if you're an athlete and you're paid really well to wreck your body for that period. But if you're a normal person who's doing it for the fun of it, I think it's really not the smartest thing to do. And recovery should be as important as the training.
Do you see that often then, people who exercise a lot have a higher glycan age than they were expecting, and they're potentially disappointed by that? And how do you address that with them?
It's about education. It's very common for us to see it. We're actually surprised when we see people who exercise a lot and they have a good glycan age. So at this point, it surprises us. We want to know what they're doing for the recovery and how it's working so well. But it's very common, because we also attribute fitness to health. And that's true to a degree, but it's not necessarily that with fitness we will also have health. And one thing that's quite typical to see in women, and maybe not so easy to see in men, is that when they're training and overtraining, they also have this, they suppress their hormones, and a lot of them lose their cycle. And they would not know that this is exercise. So you can have a very healthy, fit-looking woman, and she hasn't had a cycle for a year. Yeah. And it's something they don't, unfortunately, connect to it, but it's very well proven now as well in research is that it really has this negative effect. And for us, at least, it's easy to see. If your cycle becomes irregular as you're going intense into the gym, you can attribute it to that. We're not yet sure what happens in men, but it's probably something similar. Yeah. And it's, again, going to the stress response. If you're under chronic stress, you don't need reproduction, so you shut it off.
If we just go back to glycan age, not necessarily as a predictive tool, but you found studies that showed increased risk of cardiovascular disease, you know, within the ensuing 10 years, for example. Do you have anything on mental health illnesses and the relation of that to glycan age? Depression, for example, is now being thought of as an inflammation of the brain and maybe due to low-grade chronic inflammation. So could it also be used to help people who might be at risk of depression and other mental health disorders?
So we are doing some studies in that direction, but this is extremely complicated because most of the conditions we call a disease is a set of 10, 20, 50 different molecular aberrations which result in a similar phenotype. And this is particularly complicated when you talk about the mental health. Because, you know, I think when you talk about depression, I think there are hundreds of molecular pathways leading to depression. And then glycans would be involved in some of them. For example, we did several studies with stress, even on animal models, and people under stress, it's there are associations. I'm also working in a field of stress for nearly 30 years, and it is so difficult because, you know, when you do research, you want to have a very clear phenotype. And stress, depression, they're not clear phenotype. Even things like Alzheimer's disease are not a clear phenotype, which you can easily measure. So there is something, but it is it's not for everybody. It's not in all cases, but in some people, definitely there is a role also of glycans in developing disinflammatory conditions in the brain.
So if we look at the glycan age test, it's marketed as telling you your biological age, but really, I suppose it's looking at the health of your immune system at that point in time.
The yeah. test is registered as a test of biological age, sure. and age is not a disease.
No.
So glycan age is not a diagnostic test. Glycan age and changes in glycans are not specific for any given disease. This is why it would hardly be a diagnostic test under current way these tests are being categorized, because it has to diagnose something specific. Well, this is not specific. This is a general balancing the inflammation and also some other molecular processes. And the reason why we went for the age is because in principle, young people are healthy, older people are losing their health. So we are using kind of a molecular scale to quantify aging at the molecular level. We can define it as the aging of the immune system, but then again, it's not only aging of the immune system. It's kind of a global scale, which we know are the molecular effectors. So what we are measuring are molecules actually doing the damage. And if you have a bad glycans, they do the damage. If you have a good glycans, they don't do the damage. It's very clear on a molecular level. Why we have good or bad glycans, how we can change them, it's more difficult. For example, genetics is also an important component. Between 30 and 50% of our glycan composition is determined by genes, but still majority is environmental. What we think, what we eat, what we do. And another important thing, it's a long-term measure. This is not something which will change from day to day, but we have seen people who were, for example, living a very unhealthy, hectic life, having a lot of health problems, then, for example, took an early retirement, and after a few years, they were actually decades younger than the chronological age. So this is something you can actually fix in a number of months or maybe years.
And you mentioned that the type of glycans we have changes as we age. So we tip from a more anti-inflammatory to a more pro-inflammatory type. Is there a recognized chronological age where this happens? I mean, how would you direct people as to when to maybe look at getting themselves tested for the first time in their lives?
So actually, things are a little bit more complicated, because when we are very young, before puberty, we still have a lot of these pro-inflammatory glycans.
Right.
And then they go down, and the minimum is in early 20s and late teens, and then they start going up again. So the most dramatic changes are maybe after 30 or 35, but even early testing can help, because we had example of young people who were much older and then they improved.
One other thing I wanted to touch on is the difference in gender. in aging. But it's really interesting because then we see that basically men and women age at a different pace, and women are protected or they age slower in reproductive age. And then while men move very linear, they have this inverted U curve where from peri to menopause, they have this accelerated change. Doesn't mean they'll get older in some cases. Some cases they may have excellent glycan age to that point and then it catches up with their age, or sometimes it goes a little bit above. But they also then, if you look at the immune system, women have a stronger immune response in reproductive age. So and that's one of the reasons we respond different to flu sometimes, and why we have the man flu, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's actually a different type of disease. They're not wrong. It's a different type of disease that we experience. And menopause is this inflection point for chronic diseases in women. So it's a really interesting connection between aging and reproductive health. On the process, we made it really simple. So it took about 2 to 3 years of development, but we have these dried blood stains tests that you can do at home now, which is super, very robust. You have simple instructions, very few people don't read them and then they do something wrong. But as long as you read them, it's very easy to do. They're stable in the post for quite a long time. So at the moment, we ship to over 35 to 40 different countries, and we can stay in the post up to 2 weeks with having the same result, which is really good for a biomarker. We always pair them with a health profile and a consultation with a health specialist. So one of the things is in the health profile, none of this is mandatory. It's if you want more information from the test. The health profile has about 50 different questions. And then we have a little AI which tries to make conclusions for us, saying maybe this person is overtraining. Maybe she has some other symptoms connected to hormones. Maybe she's eating the wrong diet or something else is there. And then when you reach the consultation, they try to really go through everything, all of that, and ask a little bit more and deep in-depth questions. And usually they're really good at finding out what could be the reason behind it. And what most important thing is, if you have a high result, is to identify why. And if you know the why, then you're motivated to make a change and you're not worried about what it is because you know what you need to do. So that's really the whole objective of all of it. And we have good trained specialists who are also trained to deliver bad news in the right way, because a higher biological age is like a personal insult. You can get very upset about it in a way.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It's also really motivating if you can get to the right conclusion. And we really do see it makes sense. Entrepreneurs who live twice as fast are usually a little bit higher, unless they're healthy entrepreneurs, which is not too many of them.
No.
So we say that we spend the first half of our life trying to make money, and then the next half to get our health back and spend our money to get our health back.
Absolutely.
So hopefully we switch to a more balanced pace, but it's really empowering when you can find the right thing to fix in the person, and then you see him actually go out and do it and improve his age score and get very motivated by
it. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
A And when people get a really good result, how do you follow that up with them? Do you just say that's amazing, or do you recommend that they retest perhaps yearly or even longer? Do you have some sort of scale? Like if it was, say, a very young glycan age compared to their chronological age, they'd obviously be at a lower risk, I suppose. Or do you have a regular time frame in which you recommend everybody would retest anyway?
So it takes some time for the market to change, particularly if nothing big has changed for you. So if you have a really, really good score and our lowest score is 20, then right, maximum once a year or every couple years, you may want to check in if you're doing just as well. You can still improve a good score. So we have a lot of customers who have a good score and they want to improve it further. They're like, oh, I'm only in the 75 percentile. I want to be in the 99. I saw my friend is in the 99. So you can still improve a good score. Yeah. And the consultation is either with a general health specialist focused on longevity or a nutritionist, okay, or a sports scientist. So they may select an area which is more specific to what they want to work on. And we would say if they're doing something. Also, it's a way to validate if the new thing you're trying to do is actually giving you benefit or harm. So we say if you're trying something out, like a fasting regime or a new diet, or you're going a new exercise plan, you may want to get the feedback earlier than doing something for years and finding out that it worked against you instead of for you. So we say maybe 3 to 6 months after you've made a big change or investment into a change, you may want to validate if that worked well for you.
That makes sense. I mean, I see that something like glycan age could be such a useful tool in preventative medicine. How do you see it going forwards? I mean, where do you hope it will sit in the healthcare sort of spectrum? I mean, if it became something that could give people an early indication of poor health to come, then it could actually prevent a lot of financial burden on healthcare systems. So there's huge scope potentially for this.
Yep. So there are some specific patterns for certain diseases, and Gordon can explain this better. One other biomarker that we uncovered is a biomarker for menopause. And we're registered now as aid to diagnosis for menopause, and we're doing perimenopause to be a biomarker for perimenopause as well. And menopause is not a disease. It's a natural phenomenon. It's aging. And it's not something we looked for. It was just there. You know, we didn't think that we're going to find menopause, but we found that this low-grade chronic inflammation has a very direct association with onset of menopause. And that also correlates with long-term risk. And Gordon will tell you more about the other sides of that. But it's really a tool to identify something early, evaluate the effectiveness of therapy, and then also monitoring long-term risk.
What I think is that this test or a variant of this test will eventually be part of a regular blood test we are doing all the time. At the moment, this is still a bit too complicated, too expensive, special machines, so we cannot just routinely use it in everyday's work. But I think this is giving as much valuable information like HbA1c, for example, okay, and that medicine will start to use it routinely. The problem with the clinical medicine is that it is very traditional and changes very slowly. So the acceptance of new biomarker is really, really slow. Yeah. So this will not happen very quickly. But I think with more research, with more data about how important this is, there will be more and more physicians using this information to help their patients live a healthier life, because it's these glycans really change years before major cardiometabolic diseases develop. And they change kind of continuously. So you can see people moving from healthy to the disease state. So you can actually tell your patient something like, look, you are now significantly worse than a year ago. You have to do something. Your time is running out. And the next year, you know, it's really getting worse. You should do something now. And eventually this will be happening. It will take some time to get adapted, but this will happen.
I think getting into primary healthcare, so the general practice, that, you know, they're firefighting all the time, and, you know, they know their patients are doing the wrong things, but they can't really quantify it and they can't show their patients how. So something like this can be so powerful. Like you said, you can say a year later, look, your glycan age has gone down. We need to change something. Whereas at the moment, there's no tool for them to do that. So there's no way to persuade patients to change, or, you know, that they really need to do something, because without something like this, you can't show them the benefits of the changes that they're making. And people find it hard to eat better or exercise more or sleep more if they're busy or reduce their stress. So if they don't see something, like you're saying with your Apple Watch, you get a reward. If people don't get that, they lose motivation very, very quickly.
But, you know, I think what is important, you know, the biggest problem with medicine is that a physician do not have time to talk to a patient.
Absolutely.
Just 100%. By talking to a person, identifying problem, motivating a patient, you can do magic.
Quick question about the test. Other markers of inflammation that an ordinary doctor would do, say if I had somebody coming to me and I wanted to just do an overall inflammation, I would check their ESR, their CRP. Those markers go up in acute inflammatory situations. If you were to take the glycanage test in the middle of, say, being very unwell with something, would that skew your result or does it still give you a long-term picture? Like HbA1c is obviously a long-term picture of blood glucose.
So in majority of conditions, we do not see a dramatic change if there is something acute going on. We are doing some research now, for example, in COVID. We do see it in people who will have the worst outcome. This is still unpublished, but this is something we see at the moment in our research. In majority other conditions, we don't see a change because we are measuring glycans on immunoglobulins, and immunoglobulins have a half-life of 3 weeks. So it does take quite some time for this to change. You know, CRP can go up in a day, thousandfold or something like that.
Yeah.
Glycans don't change that much. So they're not a tool to measure something acutely, but it's a long-term measure.
I've got my glycanage test sitting on my desk waiting for me to do it. So it'll be really interesting to see the results of that. I have to admit, I feel under a little bit of pressure because it should be good. But at the same time, I do exercise a lot. And after what we've spoken about today, I wonder whether that will be reflected in my result. But we shall see.
Well, thank you so much. I've really enjoyed talking to both of you today.
You can find out more about Glycanage by heading to their website, www.glycanage.com. Thank you so much for listening today, and I really hope you've enjoyed this conversation. Do follow me on Instagram at thehealthspandoctor for information on the show, as well as recipes and health and nutrition advice. Until next week, let's live life better.